So, good afternoon, Eric Hoffman. You are working at Friends of Earth as food and technology policy campaigner in Washington. Eric, recently Friends of Earth Europe claimed for a reduction of glyphosate herbicide in Europe after analysis made on volunteers from 18 countries of the region. They discovered presence of this product in about 44% of cases. Eric, so what about European legislations in terms of agrochemicals products, and what do these results prove about the current system?
I think these results are really concerning. We've known for a long time that this chemical glyphosate, which is also known as commonly as Roundup, which is by Monsanto, is sprayed quite extensively, both in Europe and even more so in the United States. And I think these results show that this fit with the chemical and biotechnology industry has said for years, is that these chemicals actually are getting into our body in quite shockingly high amounts, as Friends of the Earth Europe showed in their study, is 44% of the volunteers had levels of glyphosate in their bodies. I think this raises a number of questions and problems. First is that we don't have control of where these products are going, both into the environment and our bodies. Glyphosate levels aren't tracked in the European Union or the US or in most other countries in the world. And so, this study is pretty important in that it's the first time we've actually looked at just how many people have glyphosate in their bodies. We don't know how much and what levels it's found in people in different countries, and we don't really know how much is being sprayed on our fields as well and what those long-term impacts will be.
What are the main, so we do we know currently what are the main concrete effects of glyphosate on human body and on biodiversity?
We are just starting to learn what some of the risks to human health might be. The public has been told by the chemical industry that glyphosate is less toxic and more safe than other pesticide alternatives, but a number of studies are starting to raise questions that glyphosate might not actually be as safe as we thought. In fact, a recent study just published in early June suggests that low levels of glyphosate can actually induce certain types, induce growth in certain types of breast cancer cells in humans. And so I think in general, we just need more studies conducted to see what the human health impacts are on, from glyphosate exposure. And the same goes for environmental risks. We simply haven't done the research. Our governments haven't done the research to see what the long-term impacts will be. One thing we do know is that most of the genetically engineered crops that are out there are engineered to be resistant to this chemical, to glyphosate and Roundup. And we're seeing in the US in particular, widespread resistance to Roundup resistant crops. So what's happening is that farmers are planting these crops that have been genetically engineered to be resistant to glyphosate, and farmers are spraying glyphosate all over their fields, and weeds are growing resistant to glyphosate. And so farmers need to turn to more and more toxic chemicals in order to fight off these weeds. For example, in the US, our Department of Agriculture is considering approval of crops that are engineered to be resistant to both dicamba and 2,4-D. And 2,4-D is one of the main ingredients in Agent Orange. And so we're actually moving towards more and more toxic chemicals because of the mass spraying of glyphosate.
So we can talk about a vicious circle about these the
Exactly.
resistance of Roundup.
Exactly. It's a vicious cycle, and it's a pesticide treadmill. And the more pesticides we spray, the more we're going to spray later on, and the more toxic they'll become.
How can we explain that available data which exist about these product consequences come from industries, researches such Monsanto?
Right. A lot of the research on public health and environmental safety of these products comes from the industry themselves, and we need actual independent long-term studies conducted by our governments around the world. And the problem is particularly troublesome when looking at genetically engineered crops that have been engineered to be resistant to these chemicals, like glyphosate Roundup. Companies like Monsanto own patents on those plants, and so researchers are unable to actually conduct research to see how safe or dangerous these products might be for the environment and our health. Because such research would violate the patent and they could be sued by Monsanto and others. And so I think just in general, we need more data. We need the data to be opened up to the public so we can actually see what the real risks are instead of taking the industry's word that these products are safe.
There is a concept which is the acceptable daily intake of a product, which could be the quantity of products acceptable for the human body. Can you tell us about these concepts?
Right, and the general idea is what you explained, is that there's, for different chemicals and different products, there's a certain level that governments assume are safe if humans come in contact with them or digest them. So they'll say that you can have a certain amount of glyphosate, for example, in your body, and it won't cause any harm. You know, the problem is, science isn't a static thing that, you know, we know something and that's it. It's the end of the story. Science is a process where we're continually learning new information and new things. And the science on glyphosate continues to change as well. And what we're learning is that even low-level exposures can pose certain risks to people. For example, the study I mentioned where they found that low level of glyphosate can cause, possibly lead to induction of certain types of breast cancer, or at least growth in certain types of cells that lead to breast cancer. And so, you know, we need to make sure that we're not just taking the industry at their word, that we're continually looking at the state of the science and updating our policies to reflect, you know, what we're learning as these studies come out.
And in Europe, we often talk about the precautionary principle. Does it exist in USA, and is it used in this case of agrochemicals?
Yeah, unfortunately, the precautionary principle is not nearly as popular in the U.S. as it is in Europe. It's something that we've been fighting for a long time, but it is definitely not applied to chemical policy here in the U.S., particularly agriculture chemicals. We largely have to take the industry at their word that their products are safe, and we have to wait and hope that nothing goes wrong. But unfortunately, plenty has gone wrong, and now we have to deal with those consequences in terms of human exposure and environmental exposure. And so, friends of the Earth in the U.S. and all around the world believe that we actually need to apply the precautionary principle, that industry needs to prove these products are safe before they're onto the market, instead of letting them onto the market and hoping for the best.
I have a last question about the recent discovery of genetic modified wheat in United States. And as did with this analysis made by Friend of Earth, can we think that now, currently, that there are proofs of this presence of agrochemicals in our food? And I was wondering if industries such as Monsanto were exposed to criticisms and polemics now.
Yeah, it has been a very bad few weeks for the biotechnology industry here in the U.S. Like you mentioned, it was revealed that there was an unapproved variety of genetically engineered wheat found in a farm in the U.S. in the state of Oregon. And now we have the news about glyphosate contamination in our bodies. There is also a study that came out just last week that found that pigs fed genetically engineered corn and soy had increased health problems, particularly in their stomachs. And there's just been a whole host of news coming out that's bad news for the biotechnology industry. And so we hope that this is going to be one of those turning points where the public is starting to pay attention and they're starting to hear story after story about all the different layers of problems with genetic engineering, not just human health problems, but environmental problems, economic problems, and economic harms to our farmers as well.
And about that, is there a common strategy between Friend of Earth in USA and Friend of Earth in Europe?
Yes, we are definitely working very closely with our allies and Friends of the Earth Europe and all around the world, and trying to follow the biotechnology industry and push back wherever they might be, and try to make sure that we're working in coalition and to challenge them and to challenge any new genetically engineered crops or products that they try to bring to the market.